From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, May 25th, 2017. And on this day, a last-minute bill that Governor Paul LePage introduced to phase out the Maine Turnpike Authority has met with a quick defeat. And we'll look at a college program that graduates students in 3 years. That's ahead in a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by the Law Offices of Joe Bornstein, dedicated to serving injured and disabled Mainers from Kittery to Caribou. JoeBornstein.com. And by USM's Muskie School of Public Service Masters of Policy Planning and Management, preparing students to be a force for positive change in their community.
A day after the Congressional Budget Office released its score on the Republican bill to replace the Affordable Care Act, a D.C.-based progressive think tank is estimating that nearly 117,000 Mainers would lose health insurance under the bill. As Patty White reports, those who would lose coverage include people who get care through their employers.
The Center for American Progress projects that over the next decade, more than 57,000 Mainers would lose Medicaid coverage, 47,000 would lose coverage in the individual market, and 12,000 would lose employer-based coverage. Steve Butterfield of Consumers for Affordable Healthcare says that estimate for losses in employer-based coverage are because the GOP bill eliminates the employer mandate.
More people than realize it have been positively impacted by the Affordable Care Act. And I think, you know, this bill is just one big package of nasty surprises, not only for people who expect it, but also, you know, who may not see it coming.
The reduction of those covered by Medicaid is due to the bill's $800 billion cut to the program. Lori Parham of the Maine AARP says that would not only hurt low-income families and children, but seniors as well. Medicaid is the primary payer in the U.S. for long-term care.
There are real questions about what this will mean for access to quality care in nursing homes and what it will mean for people who want to receive services at home in the community. And we know those home and community-based services are much less expensive than nursing home care.
The Center for American Progress based its projections on the Congressional Budget Office score on the GOP health bill that was released Wednesday. The CBO found that 23 million people across the U.S. would lose health insurance. It also found that premiums would go down for some young and healthy consumers, but that's because insurance plans would offer fewer benefits. For those with pre-existing conditions or newly acquired medical issues, the CBO found that they could be priced out of health insurance altogether. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
A last-minute proposal by Governor Paul LePage to phase out the Maine Turnpike Authority was taken up by the legislature's Transportation Committee today and then swiftly and unanimously defeated. As Mallory reports, LePage says he wanted to shift responsibility to the Maine Department of Transportation as a way to reduce tolls.
The governor is convinced that Maine could do a more efficient job of running the toll highway than the quasi-independent Maine Turnpike Authority. In fact, the way he sees it, if the DOT was in charge, most tolls could be reduced or even eliminated, with the exception of the entrance to the turnpike in Kittery. Lance Libby, a senior policy advisor to the governor, presented the case for the legislation at a public hearing before the Transportation Committee.
Hampshire and Massachusetts manage their toll roads without the necessity of a separate government entity in all of its overhead. These states are most likely realizing savings from efficiencies which can be put back into the maintenance and operations of the roads and bridges.
But the proposal drew opposition from the Maine Better Transportation Association, the group representing contractors who do much of the bridge and road work in the state. Executive Director Maria Fuentes warned the condition of the turnpike would likely suffer if it was to rely on a single toll paid when entering the road at Kittery.
Stripping it of most of its funding source would be devastating to the state's economy and would force it to compete with other roads for what's already inadequate funding.
Fuentes says Maine's other roads and bridges are already underfunded by the DOT's own assessment. She says there is currently a need for another $160 million a year to keep up with those that need improvements. The proposal also drew opposition from the Maine Tourism Association. Diane Johansson says asking tourists to pay a big fee to enter the state on the turnpike is not a message that would help Maine's largest industry.
Asking them to pay a significant toll upon entering our state is not the message we want to convey to first-time travelers here, and it certainly will be a deciding factor in the future as to whether or not they choose to vacation here again.
Committee members briefly discussed the proposal in a work session following the public hearing. They praised the operations of the Turnpike Authority and then unanimously voted to recommend against passage of the governor's bill. Under legislative rules, that means the bill cannot move forward this year. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
This month, college seniors from across Maine will walk across the stage to accept their diplomas, most after four or more years of classes. But for more and more students, graduation day will come much sooner. Robbie Feinberg has more on a trend designed to make college more appealing and more affordable.
In her senior year of high school, Catherine Lindsay was at a crossroads. Her parents wanted her to go to college.
My mom works for a small little place. She's a beekeeper, makes honey. My dad owns his own business. They knew that they wanted me to go to college.
But Lindsay says her parents also made it clear that the financial burden would be on her.
They weren't going to help out cost-wise, so they just had me work through high school, save, apply for scholarships.
Even with scholarships, Lindsay says she knew she was still looking at tens of thousands of dollars in student loans over 4 years. Then she learned about a program at Waterville's Thomas College that offers a bachelor's degree in 3 years.
It was definitely a deciding factor for me because I could get it done in 3 years aside from four, and I wanted to get it done as quick as possible when I was the one paying for it.
Basically, time equals money. So time to degree really matters.
Sarah Flanagan with the National Association of Independent Colleges and Universities says Thomas isn't alone in this new push. She says at least 20 private colleges have launched accelerated programs within the past decade, partly as a way to make the price of private college more appealing.
So there's a lot of innovation going on around programming where colleges are trying to sit and say, what really are the essentials part? What are the components of a degree? And how do we get people there as efficiently and effectively as possible for their particular needs?
At Thomas College, the shift was largely driven by two trends. First was the growth of early college. Since 2010, the number of high schoolers taking college classes from Maine's public universities has more than doubled. The second trend, says Thomas College Provost Tom Edwards, was Maine's transition to proficiency-based education, which is intended to assess students on what they know rather than how much time they spend in class. 3 years ago, Edwards says, the school redesigned its degrees to fit these new trends, and it determined that for certain majors, such as accounting and business, some students could take 6 classes a semester, plus a few summer classes, and finish in 3 years.
From a cost standpoint, anytime we can cut college costs by 25% by eliminating a full year of tuition, room and board, that's great.
The new approach hasn't just been limited to private colleges. The University of Maine system is one of many public universities nationwide that have begun embracing new 4 and 5 year master's programs. However, some worry that all of this focus on completion may not be helping the right students.
It shouldn't be those who are already most marginalized, those who are underserved, who don't have the opportunity to take full advantage of the greater purposes of higher education.
Lynn Pascarella is the president of the Association of American Colleges and Universities. She's concerned that by streamlining a degree this way, colleges could be diluting the true value of that degree. She says even in a shorter period of time, students should still be able to have access to a broader liberal arts education, as well as internships and other experiences that will teach students skills beyond their area of interest.
And so how can we have all of these opportunities come together for students if the only goal is completion?
At Thomas College, student Catherine Lindsay says that she feels she got the same experience as friends who will be in college an extra year. But completing a degree in 3 years, she says, required a lot more work.
Last spring I was here from 8 to 5 every day, either in classes or studying. So it was like a full-time job, and then going home and doing homework on top of it. So it was a lot.
To To help students with that increased workload, more schools are now trying to beef up their academic support systems. In the University of Maine system, Vice Chancellor Robert Neely says officials are now talking about ways to increase that support, which he says has lagged in rural campuses like Machias.
It's unethical if we don't figure out a mechanism that once we accept these students to get them through.
On the whole, though, colleges say many of these programs have been a success. At Thomas College, 80% of its first cohort of three-year graduates received their diplomas this year. That's a rate far above the national average. Provost Thomas Edwards says it's also notable that more than half of these students graduating are first generation, which is a population that's traditionally struggled to finish college. Student Catherine Lindsay says her experience was certainly tough, but she says between living at home, receiving scholarships, and eliminating a year of expenses, she's only looking at about $10,000 in student loans, which is a relief.
Paying back my loans is not something I'm too worried about, which is a blessing when I'm talking to some of my other friends and they're, you know, having $40,000, $50,000. You know, I have a quarter of that, so I was lucky.
Officials say these programs won't work for everyone, but they say these options can create a more customized college experience for each student, and potentially one with less debt. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
And now a clarification. A story that we aired yesterday misstated the potential cost of constructing transmission infrastructure to bring new wind energy from Maine to southern New England. The report gave a top estimate of $20 billion, but that number referred to a highly speculative estimate of the cost of bringing massive quantities of renewable energy onto the regional grid. A more realistic cost estimate for new wind energy transmission from Maine starts at about $2 billion and rises from there, depending on demand. For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Thursday, May 25th, 2017. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.